Well, good morning, you guys. It is so nice to be here with you this morning. And also, it's nice to be back. For those that didn't know, the past 3 weeks, during July, I was down in Florida spending some time with my mom and our family, some close family friends. And while I was home, I actually had an interesting experience that I haven't had with my mom yet. I hadn't seen my mom for a whole year because of the pandemic. I was down there towards the beginning part of the pandemic, and then I came back, but I hadn't seen her for a whole year. And some of you guys know what that must have been like to not see certain family members or friends for maybe a year or two even. So for those of you that don't know, my mom is actually a single mom of two kids. She has me and my brother, and she has been a single mom for the past 16 years. And so I lost my dad when I was 7 years old, and so when we were out, she's newer to a new church, and so I was going to these events. There was picnics, and there was these worship services, so I would go with her, and we were around certain people that we haven't been around, so she was telling her story, and every time she would bring up this one word, and it was, "I sacrificed this. I did this for her," and she just kept saying sacrifice, and I felt so burdened, and my mom's a talker, okay, so she'll tell it to everybody, and so we could be in the same room with the same people, and she'll tell the story multiple times. So I'm with her, she's saying this, she kept saying it, and so I was dealing with myself, and this was an event over multiple times, over a few weeks, and I was like sitting there, and I'm like, why does she keep bringing it up? Like, it burdens me. It makes me feel gross. Like, she did so much for it. I don't want this feeling. It felt heavy. And I was sitting with myself dealing with this, and it was almost like I thought she was saying out of pride. And then I heard her say the story one more time, and she was with my group of friends. And they were my friends, so you know how that could be when you're with your friends and your mom's talking about you and all that she's done for you. You're like, but I'm sitting there. And then she looked at me finally at the end and said, "But I would do it again because of how much I love her." And then it hit me. And I was going to talk to her about her saying this story all the time, but then it hit me that it wasn't her being out of pride, out of pity. It wasn't her boasting. It was her showing people how much she loved me as a parent and that she sacrificed all of that for me as a parent out of love, out of parental love for me. And you see, if anybody knows, what parental love is like, it's God. He gave his one and only son for us. He gave his one and only son to die for us. He gave up his son to die on the cross so that we may all be with him and have eternal life with God. So this morning, we're going to step in. We're going to talk about sacrifice. This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be living sacrifice. We're going to be in Romans 12, and we have a short but powerful passage this morning. So if you have your Bible, it's on your phone, open up to Romans 12. But I'm going to give you some background on Romans. I did a lot of research on the book of Romans, and I actually was studying this passage in this in the book of Romans before this. So I have some insight knowledge that I really wanted to share with you guys. So you see, the book of Romans, so it goes, it's the gospel, so it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then it's Acts, and then it's Romans, and they're not in chronological order. You think that's the first letter. No, it actually goes from longest, the longer letters to the shorter in the New Testament. And so you see, the book of Romans was not a typical letter you would see from Paul. If you look at other letters like 1st and 2nd Corinthians or Galatians, a lot of in those letters, Paul was actually calling them out of their ungodly ways, and he was pretty much rebuking them and telling them of what not to be doing and to how to transform their lives. But see, the book of Romans is actually Paul telling them how much he loves them. He's telling them and showing them the godliness. And Paul had a real heart for people that weren't apostled well. Like this, he's giving this them good, sound doctrine and practical instruction. If you were to go back to the beginning of Romans, I'm going to paraphrase for you guys so that we don't start at the beginning of Romans and end all into chapter 12. But at the greeting in the beginning of the book, Paul tells them how much He loves them and loves these people. See, Paul is actually a Roman citizen. It says that over in Acts, but Paul is actually a Roman citizen, so he loves these people, and he's saying, I can't be with you right now, but I hope this encourages you, and I can't wait for the moment that I can fellowship with you. Like, he's excited, and right now he's on his third, where they're assuming that Paul wrote the book of Romans while he was in the city of Corinth. And he was on his third missionary journey. And so he really was like, I'm sorry that I can't be there, but please take this, know these things. So Paul really wanted to guide the Roman people. And the whole purpose of Paul to do this was so that one day the Roman church can join him on his mission to spread the gospel out towards Spain. Like, he wanted to we're called is to spread the message all out to the earth. So he wanted them to hop on that mission with him. So he had to build up a strong church to join him to do his mission. All right, so let's read Romans verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's it. That's what we're reading this morning. That's where we're out of. I know that is short, and that's a lot in two verses, but we're going to break it down piece by piece. So Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, it is actually a pattern that Paul had, that he wanted us to go back. He's about to make some good statements. And so he's like, look back, remember what I just said, so that we can go forward. And so he's telling us to pointing back. That is a rhythm he had whenever he used the word therefore. So we were to look back, and I'm going to paraphrase, a lot of Romans 1 through 11, all those chapters, Paul is talking about the mercies of God. So he says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. So he's going through each and every one of the mercies. He's listing it out, going through, telling you what they are. The mercies of God that God had offered to us, that God commanded us to do this, to live by his mercies and to show it. But Paul explains, and so some of the mercies that Paul had gone through, he talks about the justification and that from the guilt and the penalty of sin. He talks about being adopted into adoption into Jesus and being co-heirs, that we are also placed under grace and not law, that we have been given the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and then also to be confident of no separation from God's love. So he was reminding them of all these mercies that God had shown them. And so then he goes on by saying, by the mercies of God. And so he explained this to them, but to present your body as a living sacrifice. That's a loaded statement. That is heavy. To live as a living sacrifice. So he wants us to look at in view of mercy and how we are saved. And he explained that to them, that we were once sinners, that we were once offered ourselves to him, and that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And so for me, that's heavy. I'm like, I was so confuzzled this past week, and I was like, what is a living sacrifice? Because there are two words, living, and then a sacrifice is something to die, to take place, so that one can live on. And I remember I was sitting with my friend Johnny, and I just looked at him, and I was like, so tell me. Living sacrifice, what you got on it. He is someone I go, and we just talk about the Bible for hours. And we were going back and forth. And so I started looking up the word sacrifice. And so if we think about sacrifice, it took on, what a sacrifice was in the Old Testament was, and they would usually have an altar before God, and they would sacrifice an animal to take on their sins for them so that they are forgiven. And so that they could live on. And that animal was out blemished. See, that animal they cared for, it was in their own flock. They raised it, they fed it, and they had to take the best of the best to die for their sins. Without blemish, it said. And they sacrificed it before the Lord so that they were free from sin, that they could live on. And then the word living in this passage expresses the things that are going to be carried out into the future. See, we are living things. We live today, we live tomorrow, we live the next day. So that word is meaning that we live today, we live tomorrow, we live on to the next day. And that we are living. But you see, living sacrifice, I mean, if anything was a sacrifice, was Jesus dying on the cross for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was without blemish. See, the animals were supposed to be without blemish. So we don't need animal sacrifice any longer because of what Jesus did for us. So then you're like, well, what does this mean? If you look at Romans 11, again, at the beginning of Romans, at the end of Romans 11, he starts explaining kind of the Jewish people that the Old Testament, that because they had a sacrifice, Romans 11, he talks about them being disobedient. And I was trying to wrap my mind of what this meant, and finally my friend says, well, when you see your friend looking like a fool, forgive them. Have grace. Have mercy. He talked about them being disobedient, to have mercy on that person because God had mercy on you. Have the same amount of mercy with that person that's disobedient, being foolish. Maybe it's they needed patience in the moment. Maybe they need a lot of patience. But think about how much patience God had with you, how much grace God had with you, how much mercy God had with you. He explained all those things. He showed us the mercies that he showed us. Those were gifts that he showed us. And so we are to act like Christ-like as a living sacrifice and to show those on to other people. A story that really, this person, really, I saw them. They're really sacrificing their time for me. And so some of you might know my friend Cece. She actually is on our worship team, not today. But Cece is up here singing every once in a while on Sundays. And so how Cece and I became friends, we were friends when we went to Nyack College together. And boy, was Cece a living sacrifice for the kingdom. How many here like math? Okay, very few of you. There are those people. I don't like math. I'm scared of math at times. I will tell you the truth. If it comes to hard math, but my friends, so I decided the smart move of my junior year. I was like, I'm okay at math. I can pass college math. I'll wait till my junior year to take it because I'll be able to pass. It's going to be easy course. It's going to be light. No worries. I was very wrong. You see, I learned that I did not remember everything that I learned in high school, and I was not good at math, and I saw that after my first test, and I was panicking because I was like, I need to pass math to graduate college, but I was hopeful, but yeah, I was concerned with the grades that I was getting, so I was like, what am I going to do? And I remember one day, we were actually doing like simple math problems, but then my Cece was telling us how great she was at math, and everyone was talking about it, so I went up to her, and I was like, Cece, I need a tutor. And she goes, oh, yeah, I passed that class with an A, no problem. And someone else had told me how great she was. So I begged Cece. I was like, please tutor me, like, please. And I will tell you, there was a lot of nights filled with tears with Cece saying, I don't understand this. Please explain it. And she had to be patient. And I will tell you, she's the most patient-filled woman of God I know, that she sat there. And we would meet by to try weekly over math, and then finally I was getting it. But you guys, she had to show God's grace and patience with me, because I wasn't very nice with it, because I was frustrated, and that I repent upon that. But at the same time, the whole time, she was so patient. She coached me. She made sure I got it, and she was like, you're gonna get it. We got this. And thank God I passed the class with a C+. But the fact of the matter is that because of what God has shown us, we must show others as Christ followers. This is a call that he has given us as Christ followers to go on and show others. The next part of the verse, it says, holy and acceptable to God, to which is your spiritual worship. Guys, if we are Christ followers, we are already holy. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He makes us holy. We are already holy. And so I, Gerken says, to present your body to means that God wants you not just for your work, but you may do all kinds of work for God, but never give yourself to him. The fact is, God's not just worried about the work we do for him. He actually cares for us in our bodies. He cares for who we are and that we are holy and acceptable for that. See, if you go back, and so he tells us to present our body as a living sacrifice, that body piece, but it would be holy and acceptable. And see, back in the ancient Greece, they thought of presenting their body was actually an unspiritual thing, but God didn't actually care about it. But you see, how I would look at it is that God created each and every one of us in our womb. Why wouldn't he care about our bodies? Why wouldn't he actually care about that? That he took the time to knit each and every one of us perfectly in his mother, in our mother's womb, and that also that he bought our body with a price of his son dying on the cross for us. So how could he not care about us, and that we are already holy by him and accepted because we chose into that? That was free for all. This week, as I was just reading, I was reading Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Cesario, and he said this quote, and I thought it fit perfectly into what we were talking about. And it says, "It is true that we are called to consider others more important than ourselves. We are called to lay down our lives for others. But remember, you first need a self to lay down." And that hit me, that we are a living sacrifice to be holy and acceptable, but also that we are to take care of our body, our mind, and our soul, and that we need to fill up our wells and take that time of rest. That is our body. They took care of his flock when they were going to sacrifice him. Why aren't we still taking care of ourselves? How often do we run ourselves down, and then it's like, okay, God, what? And then you're like, I'm really tired. Because we're not taking care of ourselves. And so in that act of being a living sacrifice, it is taking care of one's body, it's taking care of oneself, and taking that time to rest. And often we can look at that as it's selfish. But then Parker or Palmer says, "Self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good steward of the only gift I have, the gift that I have to put on this earth for others. Anytime we call to listen to true self and give it care, it is required. We do not only for ourselves, but for many others who live, we touch." How could we ever carry out God's mission if we don't take care of our body and be a living sacrifice, but also taking care of the body that is the living sacrifice? All right, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." He tells us not to be conformed by the world. And that is pretty easy to do. I'm not going to lie to you. That is, we're around people all the time. We're around the world. We're around worldly people. And this is the encouragement to be around people that are Christ followers, but we're also called to be in the world, but not of it. And I think it's hard. I mean, I don't know about you. I can do some pretty sinful and not so smart things, but like, have you ever heard the saying of, "Your friend was going to jump off a bridge, would you do it too?" How many of you know that verse? My mom would always said that to me. But it's saying, don't be conformed by them. I mean, like, I'm like, but FOMO, like, I have to do it too. No, you don't. And I say that out of really a lot of prayer and consideration, but don't be conformed by it. Don't be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by Jesus. And so Solomon Asch conducted an experiment to investigate the extent of which social pressures of the majority group, what would they do? Would they conform to the group or would they not? To test this theory out, the conclusion of it, most of them did not really believe the conforming answer, but they had gone along with the group. So they were asked a series of questions, and they would go along with what the group was saying because they didn't want to be ridiculed, but the biggest thing is they didn't want to be wrong. It's our human nature. We don't want to be wrong. We want to win. Like some people don't, but a lot of times we want to be right. But the thing is, we need to allow Jesus' truth and honor to allow us to be right, and that we need to live by his way and not our own, so that he could transform us. So he calls us to be transformed into renewing of our mind. And transform, that word, it's such a call to us. And that's a heavy word, transformed. It means to be different. And so it is to be the opposite from conformed to this world. See, there's this line. And there's this battle that goes on in one's mind between seeing the things of this world but being transformed by Jesus, and which one we need to show. And that's what we need to show daily, and that's what it means to be the living sacrifice, to show that you are transformed in everything you do. And I have a friend that says to be transformed from above down, inside and out, that Christ is on the inside, and allow that to bleed through. Allow that to show, and we need to be transformed by his character. But how can you be transformed by his character if you don't know his character? See, a lot of times we're like, am I looking Christ-like? Is this God's will? And he talks about it being the will. And we're all in our mind and we're like, I don't know. That doesn't feel right. Does it feel right? Does it not feel right? I don't know. And we're all like, ah. And it's like, but if you know his character, it lines up what his character is. And how I kind of seen this and how I kind of saw this, I don't know how many of you guys ever seen the movie Princess Diary. It's a Disney original. but if you haven't seen it, I will explain it. But go, it's on Disney Plus. It's a great movie, very friendly family. But the story of the Princess Diary, it explains that there's this girl named Mia. She finds out when she's 16 that she is actually from royalty, and that her father had passed away. She was estranged from her family, and her mom was a queen. Her grandmother is a queen, and her father was a prince. And her father had passed away, and so her grandmother comes, and from that she never knew this woman, and she goes, "Mia, you are going to be a princess." And she's like, "And it's a." And I can't do justice to the movie, but I will tell you, it's a great movie. And so now she has to learn what it means to be royalty, what it means to be a princess. So she goes through this transformational process of what it means and what it looks like to be part of this royal family, and that she has to change all of her ways, all the things that she has grown up with, and the characters. And so she had to learn all these new characteristics and unlearn old things, and she had this full transformational moment. And she had to spend time with her grandmother to learn the characteristics of what it meant to be a princess and one day queen. And see, I think this is a parallel that we need to spend time with Jesus and know his character, so that we can show his mercies and show what it's like to be the living sacrifice. And it says that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. And see, there will be testing, there will be discerning, but if you know his character and you know his goodness, you will be able to show that. The last part of that verse, it says, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And the whole first two verses, Paul is really showing us how to live out God's will. So he says, by the mercies of God. So keep in mind the riches of mercy of God from past, present, and future. And then he says, rent your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that is in the eloquent worship and deciding to yield your entire self to him, but to present your body. And then he goes and says, do not be conformed. To resist conforming and acting of the ways of the world. And then he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's the focus, by focusing on God's word and fellowship with him. See, he showed us in each part of the verse, he really showed us what it means to live out the will of God. So that there's no question in that. When you're discerning, should I do this or should you not? You know his character. You know what his goodness is. He has pointed it out each and every step. When I really saw this play in my life, I was 14 at the time. I was barely knew Jesus, and I went to this worship service with my friends. And I had not accepted my life yet to Christ, but I was at this big, huge worship. I'd be going to youth group, and I'm sitting there in awe, and I'm seeing all these people and all these things that God are doing. People are getting healed, and I'm like seeing people get words, and I'm like, what is all of this? And I remember sitting there and I'm like, and I knew there was a God, I just did not have a relationship yet. But I remember sitting there and I was like, I don't want to mess it up. So I said, God, if you have something for me, if you have something for my life, I ask you just to have someone reach out because I'm kind of scared right now of this. Someone actually came right after I said that and they prayed for me, and it was one of the first times I ever met Jesus and heard from him. And in that moment afterwards, my friend was talking about something that happened. They were so confused. And I was like, that's not God if you're like fearful of that. And he goes, what? And he goes, how do you? And I'm like, that's not his character. And I had met God in that one moment, in that time, and I'd been seeing his character. So I'm asking you today that if you surrender, you'll be transformed by him. That you'll be able to discern. You'll be able to see what is his ways. But we need to know his character so that we can show that from the inside out when we are living as a sacrifice for him. So my call for you today is, if you don't know Jesus yet and you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. If you don't know him yet, you gotta accept him into your heart. And there will be people up here. You can come pull Chris or I, and we'll pray with you so that you can accept him. The second one is, some of you don't know his character. Some of you might be scared to sit with his character. Some of you might even ask Jesus, what is your character? Promise if you ask him, it's good. Always good. But take this time of worship. We're about to do a new worship song. Take this time and reflect. Ask him what's his character. Spend time with him. You might not have that time this week, but I ask you to set aside at least a minute and be, God, just pour and tell me about you. Transform me into you. And my last thing is, some of you need to go and set yourself on the altar of God. As a living sacrifice, we need to lay our lives out on the altar of God. But only if you can do that in surrender. Most of the time, the animals that were up there for sacrifice, they were tied up. You can freely walk off that altar. It is a choice. You have free will. But some of you need to lay and surrender yourself on the altar of God and ask God to transform your body, mind, and soul, and be transformed by him so that you can be a living sacrifice for his kingdom. So what call reached out to you most, take this time of worship and worship in it. Some of you might need to sit and just pray. But whatever it might be, allow God to use this time and come in expectation that he'll move in your life.